السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini from the Weekend Islamic School. And we're teaching today the third part of the names of Allah related to providing us for our needs and our wants. And part one was our needs and wants. Part two, distribution of wealth. And today is going to be part three, the test of being rich is harder than the test of being poor. A lot of people question and say, Ya Allah, why did you make me poor? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the test of being poor is easier than the test of being rich. Oh, even though we'd like to be rich, but you never know. Money could corrupt. Wealth can easily corrupt any person. Because wealth and... if you're not busy, if you're free, having a lot of free time, being rich with a lot of free time, you will start be looking at entertainments and enjoyments, and you will cross the boundaries between halal and haram. It's really a very strong source of corruption is to be rich and have a lot of free time. That is a big source of corruption, because now the shaitan is going to talk you into getting into haram things. So poor people tests are much easier than the test of being rich is much harder than the test of being poor. And today we're going to explain why. Okay. For those of you who memorized and would like to be tested, please stay with me after the class. Okay. Okay. There is a ibtila or bala or test. In Arabic language, ibtila means a disaster. It means a disaster. Somebody who is running into, like, a father dying, a spouse dying, a child dying, a parent dying. You know, when there is something like this, we call it ibtila. In Arabic, we call it ibtila or musiba. Okay. Ibtila, it's more than that. Al-balwa or al-ibtila. Ibtila is a test. In the language wise, we look at test as being as associated with a disaster, associated with something really bad happening. That's what we think when we say test. But no, test could be for being rich. Test for the time of ease. Test applies for rich and poor. Applies if it's a disaster or a favorable thing. If it's something that you hate or something you like. If something you get or something you want or something you lost. Both are test. So, lose is a test, win is a test. It's not like when we talk about, oh, a disaster happened, it's a test, but something good is happening is not a test. No, something good is happening is also a test. Okay? So being healthy is a test. Having a disease is a test. We think, oh, he's being tested, he is having a cancer. No, even if he didn't have a cancer and he was healthy, this was also a test. It's just a different kind of test. So, being rich is a test, being poor is a test. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah is talking about the humans who might have different views about what's being test and not being test. Look, see what the surah says.
As for man, whenever his Lord trieth him by honoring him and is gracious unto him, he saith, My Lord honoreth me. But whenever he trieth him by straitening his means of life, he saith, My Lord despiseth me. Nay.
So basically, Allah is replying nay to both. So the first ayah, the man, he thinks when Allah tries him by honoring him. So that's a trial. It's a test. It's honoring is a test. So, of course, you know, he is gracious unto him, and he says, my Lord honored me. Of course, I deserve it. He knows what he's doing. And then the other situation was, it's also a test. It's also another test. Okay? It's also another test. And but in this test, it's saying, oh, Allah insulted me. He despised me. If he takes away from him, if he restrains his provisions, he says, Allah insulted me. Allah despised me. He doesn't understand that. That's a test and that's a test. Both are tests. Having a lot of things is a test. Having more is a test. Having less is another test. Both are tests. Okay, now the answer is no, both are tests. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to misunderstand the word test being something harmful or being something poor or being losing a child or losing a time of a disaster. No. The time of ease is a test. The time of being rich is a test. The time of winning is a test. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know that having money and children is not a sign of Allah's love and honor. No, it's a test, but it's not a sign of Allah's honor. And that Allah is happy with you or pleased with you or honoring you. No, it's just another test.
They that in the wealth and sons wherewith we provide them, we hasten unto them with good things, nay, but they perceive not.
So basically Allah is saying, they think that what I give them of wealth and children and progeny is they think that this is a sign of my love. No, these good things, Allah is talking about the bad guys. They think that because they are very rich and they're very powerful, and he's a president and he's a vice president, he's a CEO, he is this, he is that. They think that this is a sign that Allah loves him. No, Allah is saying no. I am advancing to him the good things in this life. For example, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the disbeliever, when he does something good, a good deed, Allah will pay him back in this life so that in the day of judgment, Allah doesn't owe him anything. So when the disbeliever does something good in this life, Allah doesn't want him to come in the day of judgment and start arguing and say, Ya Allah, I did this good thing and you didn't consider. So Allah doesn't do that. Allah pays back the good thing that the person did, pays him back in this life. More money, more children, whatever, more ease. But the disbeliever gets back the good deeds that he did in this life. He gets back the thanking for it in this, the gratitude in this life, or Allah's advancing for them. So that when the day of judgment comes, they owe him nothing. And that's the whole point. Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ, neither your money nor your children are the ones that makes you closer to us or far from us. So your money and your children are not the one that makes you close to me or far from me. It's not that. This is a test. This is a test. Your wealth and your children are not what brings you closer to us. You are closer by faith and righteous deeds. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hear this and open your ears. Okay, I'm going to skip the first part, but I'm going to cut to the he says, Allah gives the pleasures of this life. Allah gives the pleasures of this life to the ones who we love and the one who doesn't love, to the ones who he like and the ones who he doesn't like. But he gives the religion, the faith, only to one, to the ones whom he loves, whom he loves. So whomsoever Allah gave him faith, then Allah loves him. So Allah gives money, wealth, children to the ones who love, whom he loves, and to the ones whom he hates. So somebody like Donald Trump, for example, he's very wealthy and he was the most powerful person on earth. That doesn't mean that Allah loves him. Okay? So a righteous guy could have a lot of money and could have a lot of wealth, and a righteous guy could be poor. A disbeliever Allah doesn't like can have a lot of money and a lot of power. Okay? So the sign of Allah's love is not money and children and power. The sign of Allah's love is وَلَا يُعْطِ الدِّينَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَحَبُّ. Allah gives faith to only the ones whom he loves. If Allah loves you, he will give you faith. فَمَنْ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ الدِّينَ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّهُ. Whomsoever having faith, be sure that Allah loves him. That's for sure. So if you're praying on time, Allah loves you. If you are fasting Ramadan, Allah loves you. If you are not looking at bad images or like the bad pictures, and if you're lowering your gaze, Allah loves you. But if you're skipping prayers, here we go. Allah doesn't love you. That's a sign. If Allah loves you, he will put in your heart love of prayer, put in your heart love of religion, put in your heart love of Quran, put in your heart love of things that he loves. Okay? But if he doesn't like you, so basically you look at yourself. What is your role in this life? If your role in this life is that you are being helpful to everybody, you're helping others, you're paying charity, you're fasting, you're praying, you're making siyam, you went for hajj. If this is the role you're playing in life, then Allah loves you. But if the role you're playing in life is that an indecent person speaks profanity, likes drinking, gambling, then Allah doesn't like you. If Allah loves you, he wouldn't let you do that. He wouldn't let you do that. So Allah looks at you and see what you want and makes you love it or don't love it. So that's why when you believe, Allah in the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا زَادَهُ وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. The ones who are righteous, Allah increases the righteousness, making righteousness loved to them. Allah is saying that he is the one who made you love prayers. Why? Because you wanted to be righteous and get closer to Allah, so Allah makes you love prayers. Okay? So the sign is not wealth and money. The sign is religion and faith. That's the sign of Allah's love. Okay. So if money and might and power and wealth is not a sign of Allah's love, then it is a what? It's a test. Look.
Everyone has to taste death, and we test you through bad and good situations with a trial, and to us you are to be returned.
See? Allah is testing us with wealth and with harm and good. Both Allah is testing you with. And to us is the return, and you will be judged when you come back to us. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam realized that when he saw Prophet Sulaiman, not Dawood. Prophet Sulaiman When he saw Allah, he asked Allah for royal powers that were never ever given to anyone, that will never ever be given to anyone after him. He said, Ya Allah, give me royal powers that no one else would get ever, would ever get. So Allah made him able to use the wind to fly from one place to another place. Allah made him able to utilize the shayateen, the satans. He, instead of them making trouble, he employed them paving roads and cooking for the people. And instead of the, Allah gave them the ability to control the wind, to control the jinn, to control the shayateen, to talk to the animals and to understand their language. Okay, so when he saw all these beautiful royal powers, he didn't say Allah loves me. He says Allah is testing me. So that's what he said.
Said the one who had the knowledge of the book, I will bring it to you before your glance returns to you. So when he saw it, the throne, well placed before him, he said, this is by the grace of my Lord, so that he may test me whether I am grateful or ungrateful.
So Allah wanted to test him whether he is grateful or ungrateful.
One with whom was knowledge of the scripture said, I will bring it thee before thy gaze to turneth unto thee. And when he saw it set in his presence, Solomon said, This is of the bounty of my Lord, that he may try me, whether I give thanks or am ungrateful. Whosoever giveth thanks, he only giveth thanks for the good of his own soul, and whosoever is ungrateful only to his own soul.
See, this is something amazing, that when you thank Allah, you're thanking yourself. It's for you, it's for your good. It's good for you. Allah doesn't need us. Allah doesn't need us at all. Allah, ghaniyun kareem. He's self-satisfied, self-sufficient. He doesn't need you, but he loves, he's pleased to take you to Jannah. So he's giving you the offer so that you go to Jannah. And he's pleased to, if you do something that takes you to Jannah, he's pleased with it. But if you do something that is not, that will take you out of Jannah to hell, he's displeased with it. Okay? But he doesn't have, he has no needs to anybody. He's absolutely independent. He's absolutely independent. Okay? Okay. Now, how do you explain that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living a poor lifestyle? A very poor lifestyle. And he died a poor, he lived poor and he died poor. And he's the best man ever walked on the face of the earth. Allah gave him the choice to be either a slave messenger or a king messenger. Just like Sulaiman and Dawood alayhi wasallam. They were king messengers, king prophets. Allah gave him slave prophet or king prophet. He chose to be a slave prophet, slave to Allah, which is poor. And he used to sleep on the mat, and the pattern of the mat will print on his side, on his body, because he will be sleeping on it. So when he gets up, you see the printing of the mat on his side. And when he died and his armor was held by a Jew for something that he borrowed from that Jew. I think it was, he borrowed something and he wanted to, he left the armor with the guy who's to guarantee that he's going to bring it back, in other words. And this is very related, this topic is very relevant to us because many Muslims in the United States are tested with wealth, lavish lifestyle, children power, and they don't understand that this is a this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most poor Muslim in the United States, let's say, lives on welfare. He's doing 92% better than this world population. Okay. I wanted to see if this is true or not. So I went onto the human reports, human development reports of the, and I downloaded it. Okay, it shows you something here. It shows you exactly what I wanted you to see. Here. Okay. Egypt, where I was from Egypt. This is the average high income, the average low income, and this is the middle. So you're talking about something in the neighborhood. This is per year, annual income. You're talking about something about 500? Yeah, no less. Yeah, you're probably talking about annual income of about $1,000, right? Yeah, probably this is about, no, it's about $2,000 per year. Okay, so that's somebody's in Egypt. Okay, now somebody in the United States here, bottom is $8,000 a year. Top is, I'm saying about not the very top, the average top. And this is the average bottom, and this is the average middle. Because yes, there is, you can find a person in Egypt that makes $100 million a year, easy. But those are counted on the fingers. Like, so those are not counted in these kind of in these kind of diagrams. So you can see income here in the United States versus income here in the United States versus income in Egypt. And you know what this country is? It's Congo. this very little Congo. So if you're here on welfare, okay, you're doing much better than somebody's in Egypt on the top, the average top in Egypt. So basically, it's a test. It's a test. The people in Egypt are tested, and we are here are tested. It's a test. Okay. Also, I mean, majority of Muslims in the United States, immigrant Muslims, are doing well. And they are doctors, engineers, working in companies, firms. And they are, especially in the Silicon Valley here, it is a test. Now, the people, the human who doesn't have faith, and he doesn't see what's going on, he doesn't know facts, that's what he thinks.
When we bestow our favor upon man, he avoids to appreciate it, and keeps himself far aside from obedience, and when some evil touches him, he is full of lengthy prayers.
Yeah, he's lengthy prayers. You know how that's lengthy prayers? When he's being tested?
When we show favor unto man, he withdraweth and turneth aside. But when ill toucheth him, then he aboundeth in prayer.
See, that's what humans are. When they get something, they feel satisfied and sufficient, and they turn their back away from Allah. Turn themselves away from Allah, because they say, we have it. Why do we need? But when this good thing happens, but when the bad thing happens, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, no, please, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Okay, but as long as money is coming, checks are coming, everything is going well, very little remembrance of Allah. Not praying, maybe skipping fasting, you know, things are going well. He's making money. Everything is going well. He's okay. But when he's touched by a calamity or a disaster, then he remembers Allah. He says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And look. In Surah Al-Isra, let's see here what Allah says about this kind of person.
When we bestow our favor upon man, he avoids to recognize it, and keeps himself far aside from obedience. And when some evil touches him, he is in total despair.
You see, he's in total despair. That is in total despair. Now, also, Allah says about in Surah Az-Zumar about the same condition of the human when he's touched by calamity.
And when man is afflicted by pain, he calls his Lord, turning to him passionately. Thereafter, when he blesses him with some favor from him, he forgets that for which he was calling him earlier, and sets up partners for Allah, so that he leads others astray from his way. Say, enjoy the pleasure of your disbelief for a while, then, surely, you are from among the people of the fire.
And when some hurt toucheth man, he crieth unto his Lord, turning unto him repentant. Then when he granteth him a boon from him, he forgetteth that for which he cried unto him before, and setteth up rivals to Allah, that he may beguile men from his way. Say, O Muhammad, unto such a one, take pleasure in thy disbelief a while. Lo, thou art of the owners of the fire.
You see, the people who think that way or behave this way, Allah is sending them to hellfire. Let's see in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah saying what about the same kind of people?
When man is visited by a trouble, he prays to us. But when, after that, we favor him with some blessing from us, he says, this is given to me because of my knowledge.
My knowledge.
No, but this is a trial. Yet most of them do not know.
And in Surah Al-Ankabut, the spider, same kind of people.
So when they embark on a ship, they invoke Allah, having their faith purely in Him. But when He saves them and brings them to the land, in no time they start committing shirk, ascribing partners to Allah.
لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ وَلِيَتَمَتَّعُوا فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ.
Thus becoming ungrateful for what we gave to them. Let them have some enjoyment, then they will soon come to know.
Okay. And when people are distressed, what do they do?
And when they are covered by waves like canopies.
When they are taking a trip in the sea, and then it becomes stormy and the boat is about to drown.
And if a wave enshrouded them like awnings, they cry unto Allah, making their faith pure for Him only. But when He bringeth them safe to land, some of them compromise. None denieth our signs save every traitor ingrate.
You see it in the aeroplanes accidents. When the aeroplane is about to crash, everybody's crying, Ya Allah, God, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. But if something happens and they landed safely, forget about Allah. You see, they remember Allah only when there is a disaster. And then once Allah loves it when you remember him all the times. Even if you remember him in a disaster only, that's fine. But when the disaster ends, you don't go back to your old ways. Okay? That's what Allah doesn't like. That as soon as the disaster ends, then they go back to their old way. They say, okay, we no longer need Allah. Okay? So that's what Allah doesn't like. Also, there are people who have everything and they think that they don't need Allah at all. They think of themselves as self-sufficient. And this is one of the attributes of Allah, self-sufficient. They claim it. They feel that way when they have everything. They have the car, the wealth, the money, the power, everything. Why pray? See?
In fact, man crosses the limits because he deems himself to be free of need. Surely to your Lord is the return.
Nay, but verily man is rebellious, that he thinketh himself independent. Lo, unto thy Lord is the return.
So Allah is telling him, you're coming back to me. So the return is to me. You think you're self-sufficient? The return is to me. Now, there is always an association between people, between batar, luxury, lavish lifestyle, and hellfire, and anger of Allah. There is a very strong association between being luxurious and being one of the people of hellfire. In the Quran, very strong association. Let's look at this one, for example, here.
And how many a town have we destroyed that were overproud of their means of living? Now, those are their habitations, which were never inhabited after them except a few, and we alone were the inheritors.
And how many a community have we destroyed that was thankless for its means of livelihood? And yonder are their dwellings, which have not been inhabited after them save a little. And we, even we, were the inheritors.
So Allah inherits. Can you please remove the thing that you put on the board, on the screen? Yes. Okay, Allah is the one who inherits, okay? Allah, no one inherits Allah. Allah inherits everything. Then one of his names that he is al-Warith, the one who inherits everything in existence because he outlives everything, so he inherits everything. And Allah's talking about one of the reasons towns are being destroyed is because the people in it live a lavish lifestyle.
And when we intend to destroy a habitation, we command its affluent people to do good, then they commit sins therein. And thus the word of punishment becomes applicable to it, habitation, and we annihilate it totally.
I try to bring two different translations. So that, because there's a lot of meaning lost in translation, so I'll try to.
And when we would destroy a township, we send commandment to its folk who live at ease, and afterward they commit abomination therein, and so the word of doom hath effect for it, and we annihilate it with complete annihilation.
And Allah also is associating luxury with people of luxury, people who lived luxury life, and with the people of hell. Let's hear, for example, here.
And leave me alone to deal with the deniers, the people of luxury, and give them respite for a while.
You just give them, wait on them. That's what Allah is saying, wait on them. See, wait.
Leave me to deal with the deniers, lords of ease and comfort in this life, and do thou respite them a while.
See, Allah, there is a strong association in the Quran between luxury and people of hellfire. Let's look in Surah Hud. It's a very strong association.
Then, why is it that there were no people among the generations before you who would have enough remnants of wisdom to stop others from creating disorder in the land, except a few among them whom we saved from our punishment? And the wrongdoers pursued the luxuries they were involved in, and they
pursued the luxuries that they were involved in.
Became sinners.
And they became sinners. And they became sinners.
Only there had been among the generations before you men possessing a remnant of good sense to warn their people from corruption in the earth, as did a few of those whom we saved from them. The wrongdoers followed that by which they were made sapless and were guilty. In truth, thy Lord destroyed not the townships tyrannously while their folk were doing right.
Allah will never destroy a town or a civilization or a country or whatever. If it has people doing good deeds. So let's see here.
لَا تَرْكُضُوا وَارْجِعُوا.
It was said to them, do not flee and go back to the luxuries you were made to enjoy and to your dwellings. Maybe you are asked questions.
See? It's very strong association in the Quran between the luxury and the...
But it was said unto them, flee not, but return to that existence which emasculated you and to your dwellings, that ye may be questioned.
And Surah Al-Mu'minun, very strong association between the people who live in luxury and the people of hellfire.
Then said the chiefs of his nation who were disbelievers and who denied facing the hereafter and whom we made affluent in the worldly life, this man is nothing but a human being. He eats from what you eat from, and drinks from what you drink.
See, they were saying, that the ones we give luxury to in this life. أَتْرَفْنَاهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Give luxury to in this life.
Then said the chiefs of his...
And the chieftains of his folk, who disbelieved and denied the meeting of the hereafter, and whom we had made soft in the life of the world, said, this is only a mortal like you, who eateth of that whereof ye eat, and drinketh of that ye drink.
See, made soft in this life. They had a soft life, means a luxury. Atrafnahum, the word is atrafnahum, means like they have a luxury life, lavish life style. And
until when we will seize their affluent ones with punishment.
Affluent ones are the ones with luxury life, mutrafihim, luxury life.
Till when we grasp their luxurious ones with the punishment, behold, they supplicate.
The luxurious ones. Allah is associating luxurious ones with punishment. And in Surah Saba, Allah is saying the ones who deny the message of the messengers usually are the rich, luxurious ones.
We did not send a warner to a township, but said those who lived a luxurious life in it, we reject what you have been sent with.
وَمَا
And we sent not unto any township a warner, but its pampered ones declared, Lo, we are disbelievers in that which ye bring unto us. And they say, We are more than you in wealth and children, we are not the punished.
See, he said the pampered ones. The pampered ones here, mutrafuha, the ones who live luxury, who had luxury life. Same thing here in Surah Al-Zukhruf.
Similarly, we did not send a warner to a town before you, but its affluent people said, We have found our fathers on a certain way, and we are following their footprints.
The what?
And even so, we sent not a warner before thee, Muhammad, into any township, but its luxurious ones said, Lo, we found our fathers following a religion, and we are following their footprints. And the warner said,
See, all these associations between luxury and hellfire, this one is very strong association.
They were earlier in luxuries.
Easy. They were earlier in luxuries. That's what the problem is. Allah is talking about the people of hell. So Allah is describing them in hell. And Allah saying,
And the people of the left? How wretched are the people of the left? They will be in scorching wind and boiling water, and in a shade of black smoke. Neither cool nor graceful. They were earlier in luxuries.
See, they were earlier in luxuries. They were earlier in luxuries.
Those on the left hand, what of those on the left hand, in scorching wind and scalding water? And shadow of black smoke, neither cool nor refreshing. Lo, heretofore they were effete with luxury.
Luxury. Luxury. I mean, an overwhelming text on the Quran associating luxury, the people of hellfire, with luxury. And in Surah Hud, the most of the followers of the prophets are poor. Most of the people that follow the prophets, especially in the early stages, are almost all poor. Very rare. No, not rare, but you know, it's very uncommon that you get a rich one believing in a prophet from the beginning. Let's look at Surah Hud, for example.
So the chiefs of his people who disbelieved replied, We are not seeing that you are anything more than a man like us, and we are not seeing that any people have followed you except those who are the meanest among us having shallow opinion, and we have not seen in you people any superiority over us, rather, we believe that you are liars.
See?
The chieftains of his folk who disbelieved said, We see thee but a mortal like us, and we see not that any follow thee, save the most abject among us, without reflection. We behold in you no merit above us, nay, we deem you liars.
They look down to the prophet and to his message. They say, Only the poor among us followed you. In Surah Shu'ara,
they said, Shall we believe in you while you are followed by the lowest people?
Lowest people are following you.
They said, Shall we put faith in thee when the lowest of the people follow thee?
Yeah, should we follow you? They will make it a condition. Before they obey, they listen to him. They said one condition, kick out all those poor slaves and dirty people who are surrounding you. Kick them out. And Allah warns the prophets against kicking out anybody, any poor.
Do not expel those who call out to their Lord morning and evening seeking his pleasure. You are not responsible for anything in their account, and they are not responsible for anything in your account, that you should expel them, and thus become one of the unjust.
Yes, unjust.
Repel not those who call upon their Lord at morn and evening, seeking his countenance. Thou art not accountable for them in aught, nor are they accountable for thee in aught, that thou shouldst repel them and be of the wrongdoers.
So if you repel them, if you kick them out, you are be from the wrongdoers. And they ask him, this is Prophet Hud, I think. Again, same story. They tell him,
and,
kick them
O
out.
My people, so saying, I do not demand from you any wealth for it. My reward is with none but Allah. And I am not the one who could drive the believers away. Surely, they will be meeting their Lord, gracefully, but I do see your behavior as that of ignorance.
Yes. وَيَا قَوْمِ مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ
And, O my people, I ask of you no wealth, therefore, my reward is the concern only of Allah, and I am not going to thrust away those who believe. Lo, they have to meet their Lord, but I see you a folk that are ignorant. And, O my people, who would deliver me from Allah if I thrust them away? Will ye not then reflect?
So, he's going to protect me from the punishment of Allah is throw them away. Okay. And in Surah Ash-Shu'ara.
And I am not the one who would drive the believers away.
Condition number one, drive those poor people away. Allah saying no. Now, don't get the message wrong. What I'm trying to say is that if Allah makes 10 people, if we have 10 people, Allah makes 10 people rich, okay? Two of them will be good believers. Eight will be non-disbelievers. And on the other hand, if Allah will make 10 people poor, eight will be believers and two will be disbelievers. Okay. So in other words, 20% from the rich, 20% will be believers. From the poor, 80% will be believers. So it's very much more likely for the poor people to be righteous, in other words. Okay. Now, in Surah Ibrahim, don't get the message wrong. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah's clarifying that He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves the rich, the thankful rich, and the patient poor. The non-thankful rich and the impatient poor, Allah doesn't like, and they end up in hell. Allah likes the thankful rich and the patient poor. Here.
Recall the time when your Lord declared, if you express gratitude, I shall certainly give you more, and if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe.
And when your Lord proclaimed, if ye give thanks, I will give you more, but if ye are thankless, lo, my punishment is dire.
See, you thank Allah, Allah loves you. You don't thank Allah, Allah doesn't love you. You're poor, you are patient, Allah loves you. You're not patient and you keep cursing and accusing Allah of doing injustice and not giving you what you deserve, then Allah doesn't love you. And by thanking, the thanking has to be by doing, by actions and by doing. Okay? So, bottom line out of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests both with richness, tests both riches, rich people and poor people. and the people who are being rich are having a harder test. So this is a time to reflect, and a time to reflect and watch, look to ourselves and see. We live in luxury here in the United States. So see what is the good thing to do, and what is the good thing that's appropriate for us to do is to be the thankful rich, is to be the thankful rich. Okay? And this is the homework. I think you can answer all questions except that story of Thu'ayliba. Okay? Story of Thu'ayliba, he was a guy who was poor and he was a bird of the masjid. The expression bird of the masjid means a person who comes to the masjid all the time and stays in the masjid. And he had a lot of greed for wealth. But the Prophet knew if he becomes rich, it will corrupt him. Money will corrupt him. So he keeps going to the Prophet. Please pray for Allah to make me rich. So Prophet says, well, it's maybe easier. It's easier for you if I, maybe it's easier for you if you're not rich. Maybe it's better for you. Maybe it's closer to you. Maybe it's good for you to go to Jannah. But he keeps nagging and nagging and nagging. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed, Ya Allah, give him wealth. So he gave him wealth. When he gave him wealth at the beginning, he started disappearing from the masjid. Then he started missing more prayers, maybe praying only one Jum'ah, maybe praying every other Jum'ah, maybe not praying Jum'ah at all. And after a while, he completely disappeared from the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, they said he's busy with his wealth. Okay. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him a person to collect the zakah from him. So he hated it. And he said, go tell your companion that this zakah is a slavery, is a slavery taxes. The zakah, he's calling the zakah slavery taxes. And he's calling the Prophet your friend or your companion. So it means that he's not my companion anymore. So then the Prophet said, Thu'ayliba destroyed himself. Thu'ayliba destroyed himself. And Allah revealed this surah about him. For the rich, pillars of Islam are three, because they doesn't include paying zakah or making hajj, because these are funded for the wealthy or ones who can afford it. The poor will have an easier judgment because there's very little amount of money that came in, because Allah will question the person, where did you earn the money from? And where did you spend this money? Where did the money come from? Where did the money spent? Was the money spent? So the rich will have a lot more questions to answer as far as the wealth concerned versus the poor. The poor, the money, very little money came, very little money were spent. And also the responsibility of the rich. Allah is not going to hold the rich responsible, the poor responsible to the responsibilities of the rich. The rich is more responsible, is held accountable to a higher responsibility because he had the power, he had money. How did he use his money? Did he just stay with, where was he stingy spending money for the sake of Allah? Which one Allah loves more? The patient poor or the rich with the thankful rich? Allah loves the patient poor as much as the thankful rich. Is Islam against rich people? No. Okay. It's easier to be, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's easier if you're poor than if you're rich. For example, if you're very wealthy, your zakah is going to be millions of dollars. If you're poor, your zakah is probably going to be none. If you are a middle class, your zakah is going to be like $2,000-$3,000 a year. So the more money you have, the more zakah you have, it becomes harder to pay zakah because the amount of zakah increases. And people start counting, and people who are stingy and love of money, they just can't spend that much. So they don't want to pay the zakah. They pay part of the zakah, but they don't want to pay the whole zakah because they are stingy, okay? So it's another example is the Prophet ﷺ said, one I'll use the American currency. $1 is valued in the eyes of Allah than $100,000. So the companion said, how can this be true? How can $1 be the value of $1 in the eyes of Allah exceed the value of $100,000? He said, one man who owns $2, he donates $1. So that's 50%. The other one is a multimillionaire. He donated $100,000. That's nothing. That's zero. That doesn't decrease his wealth at all. So he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is how $1 from a poor person exceeds $100,000 from a rich person. So we can see here the accountability. It's better. It's better that that it's easier. It's easier if the person is not rich. It's easier. Okay, and gets more credit for little things done. So inshallah, this will end this, and inshallah, we'll see you inshallah next Sunday, or actually I'll see you in a few minutes in the